We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
6:08 to go in the game. Chaney is back in on a second down and 10. King to throw down the middle, caught by Pope. He's headed for the end zone. Pope is going to score. It's a Miami touchdown. Mark Pope from De'Ara King. An exquisite throw and a 36-yard touchdown from King to Pope. And Miami reclaims the lead or takes the lead 25-24.
De'Ara King comes up with the big door prize. He finds Pope in the middle of the field. Pope hits the accelerator and give your Hurricanes 6 quick points.
Well, that's all they kind of needed there for that 25-24 victory. By the way, folks, Miami Hurricanes Football on the Joe, sponsored by Milam's Markets, your football tailgating headquarters at the stadium and for your home parties. That's Milam's Markets. And joining us right now on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, the head coach of the 7-1 Miami Hurricanes after a 25-24 win, Manny Diaz. Good morning, Manny. How are you, buddy?
Doing good. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Hey, Coach, I just want to let you know, it doesn't have to, when you go on the road, you don't have to be down 24-13 and 41-31. It's okay, like, to try to do it with the lead going the whole way. Like, Coach, what has it been like late in the third and the fourth when you're down double-digit, two-score games, the mindset of this football team?
Well, you know, every game's been a little different. You know, and even though we've been down both games, just the makeup of the games was different. Obviously, we were having a difficult time on offense through a large part of the game. And defense really started to come up with some stops. And it was just one of those ones offensively. You had to just kind of stay in it and find a way to grind it out. And you got a guy like De'Ara King, you know you're never out of a game. But our guys have they have an understanding that we really feel like we can dominate the fourth quarter, and that if we can get into a close game, that we can beat anybody in the last 15 minutes just because of our tempo and our ability to wear people down and our conditioning level. And it happened again, you know, and we were able to win the last 15 minutes and get out of there with a W.
All right, let's back up now. How close were you to not playing that game with 13 guys out, Coach?
It was really close. I think when we all packed our bags for the trip Friday morning, I'm not sure everybody packed them knowing that we were going. And our players, yes, you know, last night, you know, when we met in practice, we asked them about it. They weren't sure either. I mean, they're not, you know, they talk in the locker room and they understand what's going on. It's just a very difficult way to go through a week. But we had a great meeting on Friday morning and they wanted to play. They just weren't sure we were able to, but they wanted to play. They were excited to play. They just didn't know we were going to be able to do it. And so despite the numbers that we had at some positions, you know, they had no fear in the back of their minds. And they said, let's go do it. And we had a great, you know, sort of a Friday run through and got on the plane, got up there and got the dub.
Coach, is that your call? Or just a follow-up on and I'll leave it alone. Is that the athletic? You call the AD and go, hey, our numbers are bad right now. We got a lot of key guys. You still want to play? How does that play out knowing games coming up Saturday at noon?
Well, it's like we've been all year. I mean, you know, my level of communication with Blake James and Jen Strawley, and we've all been on the same page since March 13th. And with the league as well, because obviously not just us, but everybody in college football, you've sort of got these norms of you know, how many players you need to be able to play. And, you know, it's no secret, obviously last week our offensive line was decimated and we didn't have a lot of guys. And really, you know, you're talking about Navon, you know, getting back and being the first backup. You know, Gavin Adams, a walk-on, was probably the second backup. Wow. To go in. And so they, you know, I think that's just where the communication level goes, is just, you know, hey, how do we feel about this? What if that happens? And that communication went all the way until Friday night. You know, we didn't get the final test results back until Friday night. This is a lot you know, and again, this is not an exclusive thing to Miami, but everybody that's playing football right now is just going through the same thing all across the country. And getting to Saturday kickoff is as much of a struggle and a battle as whatever happens after the kickoff.
Coach, all right, so we rewound to before the game when you found out about players not being able to play. I'd like to go to right after the game. You win the game 25-24. Is it weird to you that you're a 7-1 team, top 15 in the country, 12-9 in the two polls, and there's still kind of complaints about the team, whether it's from fan base or other people? Like, is it weird to you to hear that? Your team is 7-1 and basically top 10 in the country, yet some people are still finding stuff to kind of complain about with your team.
Well, look, you know, isn't that a little bit of like what 2020 is about? I mean, it's
right.
I think if you want to be mad, there's something you can find something to be mad about. I promise you. Look, Miami's been in the ACC for how long? This is the third team that's won at least six games in the ACC. Third.
Wow.
So if it was easy to do, it would have been done a lot more times, right? So what we talk about in our building is don't play for the expectations of others, good or bad. Wherever we're ranked, we don't care. That's all just, you know, just something false that you can just put around in your mind, you know, whether we've done good, whether we haven't done good. What we do is we talk about our performance. There's obvious things that we have to correct in our performance, you know, but one thing we're doing is we're learning how to win. We're learning how to win different games. The last four wins have all had a different personality. They may have all been close, but they've not been the same game. We're learning how to win different ways, and we know that this thing can go to a whole nother level. We know that that's, you know, you continue to recruit and build your depth at a different level, but I just, you know, we just have to, in our building, what we talk about is to, again, honor the value of winning, because it's a learned behavior. It becomes a habit, and it's something that the young players now can learn from seeing the older players go through it and see sometimes that, you know, even how you're viewed externally, and the goalpost always moves. You know, well, you can't do this. Okay, we can do it. Okay, well, then you can't do that. And that's all part of it. But that's why all of that is noise, and our focus inside is how do we just continue to try to improve our performance to give us a chance to win every week.
Coach, a rehabilitation of the wide receiver group continues. The Pope, Wiggins, and Harley. I'm going to throw those guys a party after the season. I'm going to find them once you tell me it's okay, and we're not going to look at any kind of problems with the NCAA. Mark Pope, Wiggins, Harley, all making plays, and now Pope makes the big play, breaks a tackle on the quick post pattern, and takes it to the house at the end of the game. He's been kind of the third of those guys to kind of come around and is really playing well now, Coach.
Yeah, he really is, and it's been great to see. Great to see his development, and it adds such a dynamic because you know you got guys all over the field that can make big plays, and it was great to see D, you know, have a 100-yard game. Virginia Tech, they were going to dare us to beat them over the top, and we struggled to make explosive plays, which we had done really, really well most of the season, and they were there. We just weren't hitting them. We missed the read a couple of times. We didn't play our best on offense. That's obvious. And you got to give a lot of credit to Virginia Tech. I really thought they outcompeted us for a large part of the game. But when you've got guys like Mark and you got a guy like Derek, it only takes one. And lo and behold, again, it was an RPO and they got, you know, shoot all 11 guys, you know, basically right in our space. And that means it's a one-on-one on the outside and you throw and catch it and you can go all the way. And that's the stress that this offense puts on a defense. And that's why you never feel like you're out of the game.
Coach, there's some guys who could probably end the season with 2.5 sacks and 4.5 tackles for loss and call it a pretty good season for a young player. Jalen Phillips did that against Virginia Tech. We talked about him. I remember asking you the question weeks ago about sometimes he plays with too much emotion or emotion on his sleeve, and sometimes it hurts him. But let me tell you, whenever you fed that kid for breakfast on Saturday to get 2.5 sacks and 4.5 tackles for loss outside of the 8 tackles, that kid is a monster out there, and sometimes it looks like he's playing against kids that are 10 years younger.
Yeah, the impressive thing about Jalen, you know, you can see defensive players that, you know, sometimes are hard to judge. You know, a guy can get a couple sacks. You know, they might be somebody else might have pressured the quarterback and he falls into the sack. It's sometimes hard to judge just by stats. Jalen is not that case. I mean, his effort is what jumps off the film. He plays so hard. I mean, he shoot the last play of the game when they're lateraling the ball around. I mean, he's a left defensive end. You know, the ball gets thrown, caught, lateral a couple times over there to the right, and he's a guy jumping, you know, jumping and finishing the tackle on the quarterback to end the game. And that's what you love to see. I mean, Jalen is obviously blessed. He's very talented. You know, his body obviously transformed here with our strength staff and has turned him into, you know, really a monster. But that's a decision within that effort that he plays with. You know, that's between Jalen and Jalen. And again, just a guy that inspires our entire defense, because when you see a guy who is talented, but is also, you know, plays as hard as anybody on our defensive line, that's the guy that you want to see get the accolades and you want to see make those big plays.
Coach, last couple of stops, you guys had struggled a little bit after that play to get a first down, and so put a lot of pressure on your defense at the end of the game. What is it about the way you guys have played? This has been consistent the last couple of games. You've had to get big stops at the end of really tight ball games. You guys do anything differently? What do you see at the end of games? I'm not just talking about Couch's interception, but the pressures and the things that you guys have been able to do in the last two games.
I think we just do what we do. You know, we're just running our stuff. But obviously, you know, at the end there, when you get a team that's got to throw, you know, that's always an issue, because now you got to protect against not just our pressures, but against just our natural pass rushers. And, you know, Tecori made a humongous play there in the fourth quarter. And that's just the mindset mentality. Our defense, I think, is I think we give up 17 points in the fourth quarter over the last six games, you know. And we got a lot of guys playing way too many snaps, partly because of some of the guys we're missing. I mean, you know, Jalen and Quincy at end, they're playing tons of snaps. And you wouldn't know it just by watching their effort and their tenacity. So those kids on defense, they wanted to be out there. When we were gathering together there with a 1-point lead at the end, they wanted to be the guys out on the field that you know, were there to win the game. And sure enough, they did.
Hey, Coach, we get asked this sometimes, and it comes up on the text machine. I know you're involved, and you got a defensive background. Are you in? Do you hear every call that's being made? And if you like something, you'll give them your 2 cents? Or how's the communication between you and your defensive coordinator? How's that work, if you don't mind sharing that?
No, I'm listening to music during the game on my headset. You know, I've got some different things, some smooth jazz sometimes, just depending on the game. You know, so every now and then I'll listen. I'll pop on a podcast. Some good stuff there.
You're a bad man.
Come on now. No, of course, yes. Listen, we have a great defensive staff. We got a bunch of guys that are all on the same page. We've all been through a lot together. Blake Becker does a great job calling the game. I'm on, you know, when the offense has a ball, I'm on the offense headset. When the defense has a ball, I'm on the defensive headset. And obviously, yes, we're all, and I want to make this point, similar to when I was defensive coordinator, the input from guys like Efren Bonda, Jonathan Packey, and Mike Rump, Todd Stroud, I mean, we've all, the great thing about our defensive staff, we've all been together. We've all been in the scheme so long. We've all seen the same things. We can go back and say, oh yeah, this is like this play 3 years ago, like this play. I mean, shoot, we've got guys that have been together since 2011. So that communication is always going on together throughout the group. And we've had times when we've had great ideas come from everybody on the staff. So, you know, I'm really excited about the way we're getting better on defense. I'm excited about the way those guys played, and we needed it. You know, we needed to make the plays, and I thought Blake made some great calls to get after that quarterback there at the end of the game.
You know, even shorthanded, you had a lot of guys play really well. Like seeing Silvera play the way he's playing, and like you said, Couch and Phillips, and the way those guys, because they had to play extra snaps. It's good to see those guys taking their game to the next level, even playing extra snaps. Did you feel that way?
I did, yeah. John Ford played very well inside as well. Riley Jennings continues to put together back-to-back good performances at linebacker. Sam Brooks got in there and is getting back into the flow of playing in the game, which was good to see. So you got to have, man. You know, I mean, we're here in November, and, you know, it's important to be playing our best ball, and guys start to play their best ball. And you know, and again, though, it's just kind of cool where obviously 2 weeks ago we had some struggles on defense and the offense really picked us up. You know, on Saturday we were having a difficult go of it on offense, and we Virginia Tech was really getting after us. And defensively, as the game went on, we got stronger and stronger, and you know, made the 5 straight stops at the end to secure the victory.
All right, hey Coach, before I let you go, all right, what was going on with the fake field goal on the first possession there? Well, you got four. fourth and three on the 30. Really good field goal kicker. What's the mindset?
Yeah, it's an in-between. It's a potential go for it, you know, part of the field. And Virginia Tech had been a field pressure team. So we have the little foot play, same one we ran against Florida last year. And for the first time, and believe it or not, we actually looked it up, for the first time in the last 3 years, Virginia Tech pressured from the boundary instead of the field. So they came off of our boundary edge instead of coming off our field edge. And that left an extra unblocked player just sitting there at the field kind of waiting on Jose. So good, you know, good call by them when the randomness of ball, they got us. But we felt like it was early enough in the game that let's get the defense out there and off we go. And we'll find a way to win the game, which sure enough we did.
Coach, thanks for the time. Make sure to send that Smooth Jazz playlist to Joe. He needs some stuff to listen to this week.
Yeah, gosh, Coach. You know what you asked for, Coach. I'm sending you the best of mine now. You get the best stuff coming your way. Thank you.
Thanks,
Coach. Thanks for the time,
all right.
Coach. All right, that's it, Coach Manny Diaz and his Smooth Jazz playlist joining us here for a couple minutes on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline.
You know, I don't...
It's a good answer to the question.
I don't really pay attention to what's going on defensively or offensively. I listen to music when it's time.
Or hey, a podcast.
Yeah. I want to see you win, man. I want to see you win the game.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, hey, I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers this morning. Never too early in the morning to talk about Chevy, man. Hey, listen, I want to tell you about all the new products. Cars, trucks, and SUVs never look better at your South Florida Chevy dealer than they do right now. My God, they got some great looks for you. Best of all products, you betcha. This is the best it's ever been. And right now, promoting hard, the Tahoes and Suburbans, a new look. They've never looked better. Oh, my gosh. Tell you what, we got fantastic deals with them. So if you've been looking, that big, comfortable, beautiful SUV, or that Suburban for even, well, listen, it's not only roomy, but it's very comfortable for the big family. Now's the time to go take a look and see what 2021 has brought from your South Florida Chevy dealers, all the way down to the midsize SUVs like the Traverse, still spacious enough to accommodate the big family, yet doesn't compromise any of the style. Chevy got some great looks right now. And by the way, that's not the only one. The Chevy Blazer is smoking hot. Hey, you're going to find out for yourself when you stop by your South Florida Chevy dealers. Things have never looked better and never had better deals than they have right now. But don't take it from me. When you get some time, go take some test drives. Go look and see and find out why South Florida Chevy dealers are saying this is the best we've ever had. And we want you to come down, get a great deal, take some test drives, and fall in love. We got locations in Dade, Broward, Monroe County. Find new roads at your South Florida Chevy dealer today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.